This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Hello, wherever you are and whenever you hear this heat emergency podcast from Radio EcoShock. I am Alex Smith. It takes a lot to get me to make a special message like this. The last time I pulled the trigger was on Friday, March 11th, 2011, the very day the Fukushima nuclear reactors blew up in Japan. I knew those reactors had melted down. I knew it was a historic moment of high risk for the whole Northern Hemisphere, including my own home. I made 5 special podcasts over the next 5 days and just kept pumping them out. And then I covered Fukushima ever since, including the historic conference in New York in the spring of 2013. Now, I just can't shut up about what is obviously one of the first great heat alerts running almost completely around the Northern Hemisphere in this summer of 2013. Let's start in the Far East. Japan suffered absolute record heat with many deaths. The whole society was going down with electricity use near the breaking point. Crossing the Pacific to California, we find more record heat waves inland with giant fires reaching even to the coast. You heard about the record-smashing heat in Death Valley, almost reaching the hottest temperature ever recorded on Earth. Nevada, Oklahoma, Arizona, and New Mexico went into meltdown mode. They're still there, with no relief for weeks. It's simmering. At the same time, the eastern half of North America went through, at the end of June, a series of extreme precipitation events. Mostly rain, but even hail, several feet deep in places. There were so many floods, the media skipped through a dozen quick photos, never having time to really report on them all. We don't know how many areas flooded. We don't even have a reporting system to calculate it all. This weather is so new, we don't know how to track and describe it. Then the heat struck the east. All through the Midwest to the East Coast, the temperatures went up to 100 degrees Fahrenheit, and well above that, the humidity stayed so high it felt more like 45 degrees Celsius in Toronto, Canada. That is 113 degrees Fahrenheit. That's hot. And it didn't cool down much at night. All the major cities of the East, from the Carolinas right up through Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, the Canadian provinces of Ontario and Quebec, they are stuck under giant domes of particulates, the urban smog that clogs the lungs. Children are dying. Masses of elderly people are dying. The cause of death is often listed as heart attack, but as I first reported on Radio EcoShock back in my April 2008 show, titled Highway to Hell, How Smog Kills, Dr. Joel Schwartz of Harvard was briefing congressional staff on the sudden surges of DOA cases dead on arrival during these hot smog waves. The victims don't even make it to hospital, and the coroners don't call it climate change. Before we head on around the world, let's take one more look, this time at the Canadian North. There are 85 giant fires in the Yukon Territory alone. The smog is being pulled right across the continent. The fires are burning out of control, unopposed, and releasing vast amounts of stored carbon into the atmosphere. Move on to northern Quebec, where the second largest fire in Canadian history, over 1 million hectares, is burning in heat running over 90 degrees, and that's just one fire set of many, many in the Canadian Arctic. NASA can see them in satellite passovers. Your major news networks don't bother to look. They don't count. They don't count the carbon cost. Nobody seems to be doing it. It's a direct blast of carbon into the greenhouse. You can check out Jeff Masters' Weather Underground blog dated July 13, 2013, for an extensive report on the record-smashing fires in northern Quebec, Canada. Oh, and by the way, I provide a link in my blog for this podcast for the scariest forest fire video I've ever seen. I've witnessed a forest fire fairly close up. I've seen trees candle, the jumping of a fireball across the treetops. But few people have ever witnessed one of the new superfires racing over a hillside at more than 20 miles an hour straight for the camera. Those people had to floor their truck and run to get out alive. Watch that video. You'll know how it feels. Now over to Britain. It's so hot in the UK that an estimated 760 deaths in early July are attributed to the heat wave already. Some of them are the usual. People inexperienced with lakes and rivers are so desperate to cool off, they dive in and many drown. The same happened in Russia in 2010 during their continent-sized heat wave. People in North America do not know about this in the UK. We are not told, and the heat wave in Japan or in Britain is just unreported. We can keep going across hot Scandinavia, but to be honest, some parts of Russia and Siberia haven't heated up that much yet. The whole circumference of the globe is not yet involved. It's not quite a full circle, an entire hemispheric heat wave, but it's the first sign that one of those is coming, and they will come more often. I used to think, once people experienced the extreme heat that climate change is bringing our way, they would turn in a tide of recognition and demand action. That has not happened yet, and may not happen, until it is far too late to save the climate we once knew and depended on. As just one example, the extreme precipitation event in Calgary, Canada, the country's oil capital, has not brought any fundamental calls to reevaluate the tar sands. Just a couple of weeks later, Toronto, Canada flooded in a freak event. Now it's boiling hot and so soggy hardly anyone can stand it. There are no visible calls for climate action. In fact, although Senator Harry Reid in the United States, he's a senator for Nevada, he bravely stated that the huge spike in wildfires in the West are made worse by climate change, his voice is drowned out in Congress by an organized collection of climate deniers. People in states devastated by drought, fires, and horrendous storms continue to vote in climate deniers. That stage may last for a decade or more, it's sad to say. In my own region of British Columbia, it's been hot, but moderate compared to the rest of the continent. That's likely due to the cooling Pacific, and that's a whole story in its own. It's a key concept I raised in last week's Radio EcoShock broadcast. The Pacific Ocean, which you could call the largest continent on Earth, has been operating like a planetary air conditioner. Even as we force up the thermostat with ever-rising greenhouse gases, there is a cycle in the Pacific Ocean where the cooler phase, La Niña, can dominate for most years, perhaps for a decade or more. That system can then switch to a hot phase, El Niño, as we experienced in the record-setting hot year of 1998. We've had more La Niña lately and very little El Niño. The Pacific is cooling the world somewhat. Now imagine the same transcontinental heat waves I've been describing this summer of 2013 in a period where the ocean is releasing heat instead rather than soaking it up. That's when we'll go over the top into a planetary heat emergency which could last for a decade or more. That's when the crops die. Perhaps hundreds of millions of people will starve in a few years. That's when the economy goes nuts, small wars break out, society begins to feel the big strain running through every corner of our personal lives. About 8 years ago, in 2005, James Howard Kunstler wrote the book titled The Long Emergency. It was based on the limits of oil production, the peak oil theory. The expected drought of oil and gas was delayed, however, by new technology. Yes, I mean fracking, but also extreme deep water drilling offshore, too. It is possible drilling for oil and gas in the newly melting Arctic could add another decade of fossil fuels to the mix. Back in 2006, I tended to agree with Kunstler and others who predicted peak oil would crash this civilization before climate change arrived. But now I've changed my mind for three reasons. First, as I said, new technology has extended the reign of oil and gas. Second, Asia has risen as the world's foremost economic engine, all powered by coal. But the third reason is the scariest, and the reason for this emergency podcast. I collect climate information daily. I monitor 50 or more climate blogs, plus scientific publications, and science journalist alerts come into my email box. People all over the world send me links to climate news or describe the weather right where they live. You know I interview scientists for radio, and I talk with still more in private email. All these inputs, colliding with the weather news I've just described above, lead me to the unstoppable conclusion that climate change is arriving much sooner and much harder than anyone thought possible. This is the beginning. 2013 is the beginning of the real long emergency of climate change. The whole story will unfold over a couple of centuries if we're here to see it, but the unstable, unbearable, and often unsafe weather is with us starting now. That means I need to ramp up Radio EcoShock in some new ways. Let me talk to you for a couple of minutes about this program in the privacy of a podcast. This message will not be broadcast on the 71 stations that carry Radio EcoShock. It is meant just for you, the podcast subscribers, and for your friends, both local and over the net. Why? First of all, I know that podcast subscribers have already made a commitment. Many of you have been getting Radio EcoShock every week for years. You are a dedicated bunch. Our podcast list grows slowly. The iTunes segment, which is just part of our total downloads, has been over 1,100 people or so for a few months now. Generally somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 people end up downloading each and every program, but that takes as long as a year. There's an audience over time as well as space. This summer, as the heat rolls in, something remarkable happened. Usually our listeners fall to about 50%, I figure, during the summer months. Downloads fall some. The podcast numbers go down a few hundred as people go out and until they return in September. Not this summer. The same dedicated people continue to download, and new people are finding the program. Our audience is threatening to grow, not shrink, during the summer. I take this continued interest as another sign that millions of people are beginning to get it, to get the reality of climate change, and they hunger for more than mainstream media will ever tell them. Radio EcoShock can deliver the scientists and the activists who will tell all. We do that every week on three continents on radio and around the world on the internet. So I need to regroup to do two things. First, I need to survive physically, just as you do. And then I need to survive a possible wave of demand, new demand, for Radio EcoShock. Let me take the first one. To prolong my own survival, I'm right now cleaning up our home in Vancouver, Canada. I'm hoping that we will sell it and move to a rural village in the interior of British Columbia. I need community, and I need land to grow food. We already have the land, and the plan is to set up a virtually carbon-free home pretty cheaply, highly energy efficient, with space to grow at least some of our own food supply when times get tough and the climate makes the major crops fail. I can name at least two well-known green radio shows that were very well done, really professionally produced, that went off the air because their hosts could not survive financially, personally. Nonprofit radio stations do not pay anything at all for programs like Radio EcoShock, nothing. And the nonprofit stations discourage fundraising for any show, partly because it competes with their own constant need to keep funding their own independent radio stations, and fair enough. But I will need your help to survive financially. I can provide the home, I think. I can grow some of my own food, I know how. And I can live on the edge from government pensions and a small bit of interest. Still, I need to raise about $15,000 a year to continue personally and to devote my life, as I have for the past 7 years, to producing Radio EcoShock. How can I do it without using the nonprofit airwaves that reach so many people? During this summer heat emergency, I'd like to ask you, the podcast subscriber, and any friends that you may send this to make a further commitment to the program. All I need is 150 people in this great big world to buy the $10 a month membership available on our website at ecoshock.org. I'd like to promise you special broadcasts or even videos just for the members. Maybe that will be possible. Or I may offer members these materials first, but I have to be honest with you, it takes all I've got to do the research, to do the interviews, to interact with listeners, and to distribute the show weekly as widely as possible. Maybe the weekly Radio EcoShock show is all I can do. We'll see. But that's what I'm asking you to subsidize, the radio program. If I can develop a larger core of people who are committed to getting this program out, we can continue for years to come, even as the emergency deepens. There is a small hope we can still rescue the future from the worst of climate change. I believe that. To do it, I hope I have a useful role in continuing to campaign with information, getting the big picture out there. Most of you and most of my listeners are communicators. I know this from the emails I receive. Many of my Twitter followers are actually large groups with thousands of followers themselves. I have journalists who listen to the podcast and they get ideas. So the whole thing, this little show, it's small, but it's powerful. Though I know in the great internet, Radio EcoShock numbers are still tiny. Still, somewhere out there on over 70 radio stations, a few hundred thousand people hear what is now the alternative version of reality. But actually, it's the science-based best grasp of reality we've got. We are all trying to struggle out of this mass delusion of fossil fuels, and it has ensnared all of us, including you and including me. Let's admit that. Please do two things for me. Whether you can afford to become part of this base which keeps me going with Radio EcoShock or not, you can pass on this heat emergency warning to as many people as you can. Let's get them to realize what's happening. Second, you can go onto the website at ecoshock.org, click on About, and become a member, can you? Everyone who does that gives me more power to keep on going even during very difficult times. Frankly, it's looking bleak. There is a new Swiss study that says if we measure all climate impacts, not just temperature, the need for rapid carbon reductions double, and our time to act is cut in half from what everyone has told us. The Swiss are considering things like extreme precipitation events, stronger storms, higher storm surges as sea levels rise, ocean acidification, species extinction. There is so much more to climate change than just the temperature that we're feeling this summer, 2013. The current heat alert is just part of that picture. But the killer news comes from James Hansen, the person who first warned the American Congress about climate change in 1988. Hansen has just retired as the chief scientist at the prestigious Goddard Space Center at NASA. There is a tremendous must-read article by Nafees Ahmed, a former Radio EcoShock guest, in the UK Guardian newspaper on July 10th. Here is the title. James Hansen, Fossil Fuel Addiction Could Trigger Runaway Global Warming. Without full decarbonization by 2030, our global emissions pathway guarantees new era of catastrophic climate change. And that is what we're facing, a new era of catastrophic climate change if we can't change our course. Let me read you the opening paragraphs from Nafees Ahmed, which are littered with direct quotes from James Hansen. The world is currently on course to exploit all its remaining fossil fuel resources, a prospect that would produce a different, practically uninhabitable planet, by triggering a low-end runway greenhouse effect. This is the conclusion of a new scientific paper by Professor James Hansen, the former head of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies and the world's best-known climate scientist. The paper, due to be published later this month by Philosophical Transactions of the Royal Society, focuses less on modeling than on empirical data about correlations between temperature, sea level, and CO2 going back up to 66 million years. Given that efforts to exploit available fossil fuels continue to accelerate, the paper's principal finding that conceivable levels of human-made climate forcing could yield the low-end runaway greenhouse effect based on inducing out-of-control amplifying feedbacks such as ice sheet disintegration and melting of methane hydrates is deeply worrying. The paper projects that global average temperatures under such a scenario could eventually reach as high as between 16 degrees centigrade and 25 degrees C over a number of centuries. Such temperatures, quote, would eliminate grain production in almost all agricultural regions of the world, diminish the stratospheric ozone layer, and make much of the planet uninhabitable by humans, end quote. That was from the Guardian article by Nafees Ahmed, in my blog at ecoshock.info under the title Global Heat Emergency, published in July 2013, you'll find a link to Hansen's latest paper. We are in danger of losing much more than the public can imagine. Even scientists who work nonstop on climate admit they can't picture a world 3 degrees hotter, much less 16 degrees hotter. This generation, this time now, will decide whether we plunge into a mass extinction, including humans. That may not come for 100 or 200 years or more, but the action time is more or less now or never. In the next few weeks, I'm going to a hot, dry place by the cool river. I'll be rearranging my energy for the coming challenge and driving deeper roots into the community where I hope to ride it out. In September, I'll be back. We'll mount another battle for the next 11 months straight on Radio EcoShock. Meanwhile, you can help me get this critical message out to the United States, Canada, Australia, and the United Kingdom, you can help me feed our fans in Scandinavia, Europe, Pakistan, India, China, the lot. I'm looking for 150 brave people to put up $10 a month. Is it you? Could it be someone you know? Do that, and I'll contribute my 30 years of experience in finding the climate dragon and finding solutions we can live with. I'll do what I always do. I'll give it all I've got to keep it coming, as real as it gets. Thank you for being part of this select club, the Radio EcoShock podcast listeners, and the network of supporters following the weekly blog. You keep me going. I'm Alex Smith.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.